a seat. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, there's...
there's always different factors. Kayete. There's always different factors that lead me to bring forth a certain message, and many times, clearly, the Spirit of God places upon me an impression that says, preach this. Sometimes it's not what I would choose, but that is always a sign what God would choose. That did not happen to me, and a lot of times God just gives us a mind to make good decisions. That did not happen to me either. That was supposed to be funny. What did... the factor that determined why I'm bringing you this message, twofold. Number two, several students have approached me and said, Brother Douglas, we need to hear some messages on dating. Number two, you were dead this morning. You were tired. You were... It was like the classrooms were morgues, you know, waiting for preparation to be buried or something. And so... and then, of course, the prayer meeting, the 7:15 prayer meeting. There could have been a few more of you down there. We had a great prayer meeting. It was a sweet prayer meeting. But I really won't be satisfied until, like, there's about 300 people down there. Until God recognizes we are burdened about a few things. I'm burdened about our nation. I'm burdened about what's going on in Washington, D.C. at this very moment. I only have one word that describes the opposition to President Bush and the socialistic, quote, Democratic Party is insanity. It is literally insanity what is happening in our capitals and in our national capital, and prayer can change those things. And we do need to pray for our nation. Genesis chapter 2, please. Genesis chapter 2. I don't think I'm going to call anybody out or anything. Come on now. Okay, I'm going to call somebody out. Christian, you can't eat during chapel, okay? All right. Got him. He's sitting there putting food in his face, and he sees me looking at him, and he goes like this. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Let's read it out loud together. Genesis 2, 18. Ready? And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Woo! Verse number 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woe man. Because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That same verse is repeated three more times in Scripture. It's very clear. You leave, you cleave. And then I'll add a word, you weave. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Find that real quick. Proverbs 18, 22. And let's read that out loud together. Proverbs 18, 22. Ready? Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we have great need of your Spirit communicating to our hearts. We have great need of your Spirit instructing us, correcting us, loving us, and guiding us. God, I pray that your Spirit will have total liberty to speak to the hearts of those. It may not even be on dating or marriage, but the things that are taking place in their life that they need to correct. And I trust you'll do that. I know you will do that. God, I pray that you'll give me liberty to communicate exactly what you want me to communicate. God, I pray that we'll be strengthened because of this message. May you bless this time together in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to make a few disclaimers. First of all, I'm not an expert on this subject. There are many people that preach, that teach on this subject right here. And my perspective is probably a little bit different. I've raised kids, I've married a wife. Actually, we got that backwards. I married a wife and then I raised kids. But this entire message here, much of my material, is based upon what I have learned in a counseling room, counseling with marriages. I don't keep track, but I know that I have counseled thousands of people in marriages. I've been doing it for full-time, probably about 10 years, and then sporadically before that. And I look at the failures that they make, and I log them, I consider them. And then, of course, many seminars that I used to go to. I haven't done that in many years, but nevertheless, I've learned many, many things. Dating, the word dating is not in the Bible. The word courting is not in the Bible. But obviously, if we're going to get married, we've got to learn a few things. Now, I want to show you something from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, one that we use frequently. It says, "Whoso findeth a wife, to find you must first search." It doesn't say, "Whosoever gets married obtaineth favor of the Lord." I mean, I have counseled marriages that I thought the lady was probably a wounded grizzly bear. He didn't find a good thing. Now, he may have created what was going on, but it's like, wow. Also, consider this. Proverbs, you interpret it just a little bit different, the book of Proverbs. There are promises in Proverbs. There are principles in Proverbs. Whoso findeth, that means whoso diligently searcheth for a wife. Because when you diligently search, you're going to get a wife like my wife that has been a favor to me and a favor to her family and favor to many, and many men could say that. Also, I want you to consider that I do have a different spin on a few things because of the number of troubled marriages that I have counseled with in my ministry and life. And that's why I'm very dogmatic. That's why, I'll be honest with you, I can get very discouraged when I instruct, and it goes in one ear and out the other. Men, as you search for a wife, you better search diligently, and I'm going to give you the principles here. Ladies, you have your role in it also. And so it's a two thing, but you know what? When you leave Hiles Anderson College, I pray that you leave married or engaged or minimal dating someone. Now, in that statement, there is the exception clause for some of you. God has somebody after Hiles Anderson College. You have to wait for him in God's timing. I know many people. My daughter did not have a boyfriend or engaged when she graduated. Now, she dated. She had a couple boyfriends. One of them I strangled and killed him and buried him back out there by the lake. Just joking. Take that part out. Cut that. But about four years after she graduated, she was teaching at Hammond Baptist, and she found her husband. Asked her on a date, and they're a great couple. So we've got to understand that you need to search and need to search diligence. And I'm going to make another statement here. Most of the marriages, the largest percentage of people that meet here at Hiles Anderson College have great marriages. Next statement, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. It's just not there. When you take two sinful beings and put them under one roof until death do you part, there's going to be a little bit of conflict. The good marriages, the great marriages, they simply know how to resolve conflict. If someone were to ask me what is the greatest strength of your marriage, Mrs. Douglas and I quickly resolve conflicts. And we move on. We take care of them. We don't sweep them underneath the rug. Most marriages just sweep the conflict underneath the rug. So with all that being said, let's move here to some principles. Number one, set up protective principles before you begin dating. Now listen, every year it happens, every year that I've been here, freshmen like date people you don't even know. You don't know. He could have just got out of prison. But because he's handsome, you girls, you date him. And listen, there is a truth to this. An attractive face meets an emotional need. I like to stare at my wife. To me, she's very beautiful. And so what happens here, we start choosing spouses for a lifetime based upon the physical appearance. Now, I understand there is something about that. I get that. But when you get a little bit older, you will also understand. And guys, can I just give you a little hint here? There are some of the most beautiful young ladies here that have a beautiful soul. They may not be a beauty queen, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just have to speak pretty frankly here. But they have beautiful souls. I would rather a million times be married to a beautiful soul that doesn't have the picture-perfect face than the opposite. The beauty queen that just has all the features where they're supposed to be, but inside she is a wretch. There's no question about it. It's the soul that has beauty is much more important than the facial features. Now, I happen, in my opinion, to get both, a beautiful soul and a beautiful woman. And some of you here, you're going to get a beautiful woman and a beautiful soul. But the soul, to me, is high priority. That's what you have to live with, is that soul. The one that waits upon you. The one that, when you're crabby and you're a little bit edgy, she's sweet and she's kind. That doesn't mean that you can be unkind to them, but I'm just saying that she has patience. She's up late at night. She's taking care of the children. She's meeting your needs. She's getting you dinner. She's tolerating your schedule. She's doing all that she can, and she has a great spirit about it. So set up protective principles before you begin dating. Consult, first of all, with your parents, your pastors, and those people who have been your spiritual leaders. Now, I have great admiration for some of you who come here and say, I'm not dating my first semester or my first year. That's a wise thing to do. You need to grow up a little bit. You need to know who's who, who's a good Christian. And here is a great problem. Opening week, you say, wow, he's cute. And he's over there saying, wow, she's beautiful. You have no idea who they are other than they passed the entrance exam to Hiles Anderson College. And then you could get real infatuated with that beautiful look, those beautiful eyes, and all of the physical things there. You don't know who you're dating. Did you get a reference? He that findeth a wife, or searcheth after, findeth a good thing. And so this is very, very necessary. And I understand what I'm saying right now makes some of you feel uncomfortable. And so you need to set up protective principles before you begin dating. If you have not made a promise to God that you're going to be pure until the wedding day, you're not ready to date. I'll say it again. You're not ready to date. You are at an age where you are very vulnerable because you've got hormones going 80 miles per hour or more, and you are at the peak of your physical life, meaning you're very attractive. Men's muscles are at their peak. They're strong. You get a little bit older than me, and you know there's a lot of flab on those muscles. I'm not like I was in the United States Army. Ask me to do a pull-up now. It's like, could you bring in a stool first? I can pull up a fork, I can pull up a spoon, but you lose it. And so because of those reasons, you get infatuated, you're really enamored with the physical appearance, and then the smells, the colognes, the perfumes, and then you stand in a dark hallway where you shouldn't be. almost on a daily basis, I'm correcting students, and I'll just do this. You know what this means? You're too close. Move away. The other thing we do, let me illustrate so we can correct this problem. Where'd you go? Where'd you go? Sit. Sit down. Sit. Okay. Here. He's the guy. I'm the girl. Listen. Listen. I call this leaning. Put your camera away. Girls, don't do this. It's always the girls. Yes. Don't. No, this is weird. Because that guy right there, I don't care who he is, he's not thinking right now. His brain went offline. Okay, you get it? Don't lean. You got it? Thank you. Don't lean. Set up protective principles before you begin dating. Consult with your parents, your pastors, the leadership here. Be committed to purity. Determine the frequency of your dates. Determine the frequency of your dates. Now, listen, you don't have to date every day. The truth is, dating initially when you don't know the person can be very stressful. And we lose track of academics. We lose track of every, except for, oh, I got to date. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It can be stressful. You know, if you just start dating, you know, it may be good to say one date per month. Oh, boy, everybody got quiet on that one. Hey, I don't like to hear that, man. Here's what I'm saying, especially to the freshman class. Get focused on academics. Get focused on having a good walk with the Lord. Observe relationships. Observe people. And then perhaps you're ready to date. Now, I say this, but next year and even this year, the opposite will happen. It's like, okay, here we go on this merry-go-round again. But the wise people will take heed and say, you know what? I'm going to search very diligently. It's important. You need, men, you need a good wife who will be supportive of you in ministry. Can I just admit something? Ministry marriages are more challenging than non-ministry marriages. Because we're in people business. That can be very, very challenging to a lot of satanic warfare going on. I spoke at one of our graduates' couples conference this week, and I always preface the couples conference with words about something like, that go something like this. First of all, understand that many of you can be very vulnerable at this time because the speaker's going to call out your sin in marriage. And you know it's coming. It's like, you better not call out my pet peeve. That can make one a little bit vulnerable, especially the men. We don't like to be corrected publicly. And I'm not talking about being called out, but your wife is like, yeah. So they're a little bit edgy. Two, this is a time when a lot of spiritual warfare takes place in marriage. Satan hates marriage. He attacks marriage. He attacks the church. He attacks the marriage. He attacks civil government, the three institutions God created. And then the next thing I say is, don't try to take everything and make it a part of your life. It's too much. Just take one or two things. The thing that has helped more couples is just this simple thing there where Mrs. Douglas and I do it all the time, every morning when we're still at home and it's our paths are crossed, which is most mornings, we embrace each other and we pray together. It lasts 30 to 45 seconds. There becomes a union because of that. If I did not do that, I promise you our marriage would not be as good as it is. That one thing there, couples do not embrace if you pray together. Next thing is this, establish the pace of your dating according to your age and the year in college. Did you hear that? You know, some of you freshmen, God bless you, and some of you are mature, and I'm just giving you general principles here, but you're like, it's like a sprint. And you're what, 18 years old? Pace it. Pace it, pace it, pace it. Don't, listen, we always will perform best when we mature properly. And when we mature and we grow up just a little bit, it's a whole lot better. Listen, I was 24 years of age when I got married. Of course, I did 4 years in the Army. I was a little bit older. But I'm glad that I waited that long to get married. Now, I'm not saying if you get married at 20 years of age, you're making a mistake, because there are a lot of people that I know that are very mature at that age. There are freshmen that I look at you and think, you know what? You're really exceptional. You're very mature. But nevertheless, it still has to be paced. Are you with me this morning? It has to be paced. Number one, set up protective principles before you begin dating. I'm going to say it again. Consult with your pastor or your parents or your spiritual leaders. Two, be committed to purity. Three, determine the frequency of your dates. Establish the pace of your dating according to your age and your year in college. There are a lot of qualified counselors around here. Some of you don't agree with what I'm saying. That's fine. Again, my vantage point is from what I have learned in a counseling room to prepare somebody for marriage, because marriage is very difficult. And there's going to be attacks upon your marriage. And then there's going to be the male-female gender. We're different. Hello? Amen. And I'm not talking about physically. That's the obvious. But we think differently. My besetting sin as a young man, when Mrs. Douglas would communicate with me, here's what I wanted to say to her. Could you just bottom line it? Put the jelly on the... What are you trying to say? Because women have this proclivity to go ta 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 ta, and they're just asking a simple little question. And when we communicate, hey, Brother King, how you doing?
Great.
Did you get that done?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wonderful. I tease Mrs. Douglas. She's laughing back there because she knows it's the truth. I can hear her talking on the phone to somebody I know, and it'll take her 5 minutes to explain what I can explain in 5 seconds. We're different. I don't try to change her. I just go, ooh. And then I'll say, so what you're trying to say, and I'll say it in 3 seconds. Yes, yes, that's what I'm trying to say. All right, so we're all a little bit different here. And guys, you got to understand, that girl that you are dating does not think like you. She sees life totally different from female brains, female hormones, and just, she's a lady. And you have to understand that. I grew up in a family with 4 guys. No girls, no sisters. My first few months of marriage was like, whoa. This is a little bit challenging here. And I had to learn the language of female. I'm an expert in the language of female after 35 years of marriage. Number two, determine whether or not you're spiritually and emotionally prepared to date. Very similar to some of the things that I said. Some of you are not emotionally ready to date. I'm talking to you men. You're too insecure. You got to grow up a little bit. Insecure people do stupid things. They're irrational at times. You've got to have it down. I will take my wife to the altar pure, my girlfriend to the altar pure. Three times the night of the harvest fest, here's what I heard. Young men on a date to their girlfriend. So, what do you want to do tonight? Do y'all have a problem with that? Girls, who do you want to take the lead? The guy, the man. You know what the girl likes? Confidence. You know what she likes? Somebody will say, lead, let's go this way. We're going in this direction. Here's what we're going to do, and I think this will be fun. Even if you don't think it's going to be fun, girls, let him figure it out on his own, okay? So, guys, you need to come to a date with a game plan. And don't look and say, here, would you approve this plan right here? You are the leader of the relationship. God has ordained men. And this, listen. This is why I say some of you guys, you're not ready because you're, oh, should I say it? You're still a mama's boy. They don't. True story. Just recently, somebody reached out to Mrs. Douglas, not a member of our church, reached out to Mr. Douglas. Here was the problem. His mother did everything for him. And so now he expects in marriage me to do everything for him, pay the bills, do all the communication, do everything for him as he sits in front of the TV with a remote. Mrs. Douglas, what do I do? And so these are difficult situations. And I just want to challenge you men to really kind of do some soul searching and become a man. Girls will be attracted to the confidence that you have. There are some girls that like to be that mom, so they'll find that little weakling and say, let me be your mother. That's not a good combination. It's not a good combination. Am I being too blunt here? Okay, I could be more blunt if you want me to. You know, your generation is, we're all from different generations, different cultures, but I'm just saying that I'm going to challenge every man here, be a man and glory in your masculinity. I think, you know, some of the silly things that happen on the night bus, really, they're pretty good for you guys. They really are. They really are. And when the girls come by the night bus, it totally changes the male behavior. That's where they show off, right? That's where they show off. That's where they're like a big ape beating their hands. And they never preach, but that night they preach. Determine whether or not you're spiritually and emotionally prepared to date. Number three, discover the character of the person you date before making any commitment to him or her. You know, girls, you're horrible at this. You are. I have had to say to people at this college, young ladies, just, okay, date with caution, but don't get emotionally connected. Don't get emotionally entangled. Oh, no, I won't. It's like 3 weeks later, it's like, oh, boy, they're off the cliff. And you've only known each other for a couple months. Some of you girls are very emotionally needy. And you think man was put on this earth to meet your needs. That's not true. God is. Okay, discover the character. Let's talk about some of you who've been here for a couple years. You'll remember these. First of all, the most important attribute you have to look for is character. Does that young man have godly character? Is he a good Christian? Does he work hard? Does he take care of himself? Does he dress sharp? Some of you guys need help with that. And it's not that you can't afford clothes, it's just you just don't know what an ironing board is. That's a character issue. You know, when you have an 8 o'clock class, guys, and you get up at 7:45, that's a character issue. Character, relationships, appearance, moral qualities, honesty, hardworking, caring, strength, conviction, and obvious love for the Lord. Again, let me just promote the bus ministry. If you want to know a guy, watch him on Saturday and Sunday. Is he involved with the bus riders, or is he over there talking with another guy and laughing and going to the hot dog stand and whatever, whatever, whatever? Next is compatibility. Compatibility. The ability to exist with each other without killing each other. But it's more than just existing with each other. It's enjoyment, responsiveness, and harmony. Listen, there's just some people that you will date that you'll recognize there's not the compatibility. We have nothing in common. We don't think alike. She's beautiful. He's handsome. And then they try to force it. And the block does not fit in the circle. So there has to be that compatibility. My first date with Mrs. Douglas, I recognized then we have great compatibility. We talked and we talked. The world for that day, that night, did not exist. Only two of us existed. And we talked and we talked and we talked. She was the first woman that brought me out of myself, and I felt totally comfortable with her on the first date. I knew there was compatibility. We shared quick stories, not our whole life story, but found out we have a lot of similarities. Number one, character is the most important. Number two, compatibility is important. Number three, communication. the ability to exchange thoughts, ideas that intrigue or stimulate the intellect. Guys, let me tell you, this is where a lot of guys lose out, because you're boring. A couple years ago, we were at the Super Bowl. And, you know, a lot of dates going on in the Super Bowl. And I felt so sorry for some of the girls. I just wanted to come up to the guy and say, talk to her. You've got to be intriguing. You know, tell her that you used to be a commando during the Vietnam War or something. Tell her you were on the SEAL team that killed Osama bin Laden. She'll say, oh, I want to marry you. Guys, listen. You're listening to an introvert. But that woman back there brought me out of myself. And the communication was stimulating. We talked about a lot of things. And we soon learned after a few dates, we would finish each other's sentences. And it's like, wow. Sentences, not sandwiches, sentences. Guys, this is the number one, in my opinion, this is the number one weakness. You ain't got no game. You don't have a talk. And let me just put in parentheses, some of you salesmen. Girls, beware of salesmen. They don't really show the real them. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. So there has to be character is the number one issue. Number two, there has to be compatibility. Number three, there has to be communication. Girls have broken up with guys in this room because there was no communication. Guys, that's your job too. And number four, and the least most important, that most college students put it on the top, chemistry. Chemistry. You know, you can tell real quick, it's like, bzzz, wow, okay, I think we get along. Matter of fact, you want me to call the church and make wedding arrangements right now? What is chemistry? Here we go. It is the brain chemicals that fuel attraction, desire, and attachment. With Mrs. Douglas, all four pieces of criteria were met on date number one, in my opinion. Why did I wait for 16 months? I don't know, but we did. Now, listen to me, because girls, you talk to me. I'm very attracted to him. Yeah, chemistry. Can we go back to number one? Character. Godly character. Well, it doesn't matter, man. I'm just really attracted to him. Does he have character? Is he a good communicator? Are you compatible? Let's move on. I'm not finished yet. Discover the character of the person you date before making any commitments to her. When it comes to compatibility, your intelligence levels really do matter. They really do matter. If the wife is highly intelligent and the husband is not so highly intelligent, you may make it to the wedding altar. You may stay married for 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, but I promise you there's going to be a lot of frustration. So your intelligent levels need to somewhat match. Never forget, in this room right here, Mrs. Douglas and I were in the same class. Ezekiel, the teacher was gone. He gave test on Monday. That should be forbidden. And then the person that filled in said, okay, exchange your test. So I just passed mine back, but that person passed it back and passed it back. And I didn't know who got mine until she, who I had been dating for about a month, came and said, here's your test. It was bad. It was bad. Monday morning, consumed with the ministry, and I thought, that is the last day. But she knew it was not characteristic of me. Now, flip the coin. If the man is highly intelligent, but the lady is not so intelligent, that's probably a good match. You understand, you got to be compatible there. If you're both highly intelligent, that's good. If you're both right in the middle, if you're both real down here, that's okay too. That's a match. I have no one in mind right now. Your energy level needs to be compatible. Girls, if you're high energy, you're on the move everywhere, and the guy you date is just like, okay, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be highly frustrated. Number two, social interest. What are you interested in? Now, can I just say, Ms. Douglas and I, in many cases, are opposite. She's city, I'm country. I'm mountains, actually. But she knows I enjoy it. She doesn't interfere. There was one time the boys and I were going out camping. We were all packed up, ready to go. And she frightened. She scared all three of us because she entered into our little circle. She goes, oh, this looks like fun. Can I go? And there were six eyeballs that were like, oh. How does a young boy say, Mom, we don't want you to go on this camping trip? All right. She took it like a big girl. Men, what are you looking for? You're looking for somebody who has the ability to respect you, and you need to be respectable. You're looking for a lady that has the ability to submit to you. By the way, until you're married, it's not biblical that she has to submit to you. Girls, if you date a guy and he starts telling you, well, I said to do this, just say, well, you go tell some other girl to do it because I'm not doing it. You don't have any biblical grounds. The thing you ought to be doing is being impressing her with your kindness, your love, your gentleness, your masculinity, not with, you know, you're supposed to submit to me. I would drop him really, really quick. She should be a helper. Mrs. Douglas was the greatest of helper. Almost every night when I'd come in for work down here, she would have something for me, a little bag of goodies, soup, whatever it may be. She was just a great helper. Next, she ought to be peaceful. You don't want to marry a contentious woman. And if she's argumentative, just put her on the shelf and say, next, I'm going to move on. Ladies, what are you looking for? First of all, you're looking for a spiritual leader. You're looking for someone that loves God more than anything, more than you. And he causes you to become more spiritual. I had a few notes that I found in a box. I was looking for something else, but I found all these love letters between Mrs. Douglas and I. And the first one I picked up, the first thought after I read it was, this is why I married her. She's a godly lady. If your relationships goes to really stupid texting and to sexting, this is a bad relationship. Now, you can repent and you can get right with God, but this is a bad relationship. If your walk with the Lord deteriorates because the person that you're dating, this is a bad relationship. Listen, I'm just kind of shooting an artillery shell over the bow here, and I'm just cautioning you. I love it when people fall in love, they walk with the Lord with each other, and they get married. I love it. I love to see you in love. Not stupid in love where you just the world does not exist except for you two. There is a world that exists, and that goes for all you couples who are engaged or dating. Next, number five, know what you're looking for. Dating around is generally a worldly approach to dating. I'll say it again. Dating around is usually a worldly approach to dating. This is why mom and dad need to be involved. This is why godly counselors here, and we can give advice. And by the way, faculty, staff, administration, there should never, never, never be a character assassination if somebody comes to you and asks for a reference. You be good to these people here. Just tell the facts. I don't give them the grades, but I will say, you know what? Sometimes I'll say, you may, but proceed with caution. Many times I go, good match, great match. And then there's a few times I said, this one concerns me. And that's all I say. I don't say much in those situations. And so this again, Proverbs 18:22, Whoso findeth a wife, whoso searcheth for her diligently and analyzes her character and the compatibility and the communication skills and the chemistry, you got yourself a good wife. And there's going to be rewards for it. Know what you're looking for. When I go shopping for a truck, I know what I want. If you go shopping for a car, do you want a four-door or two-door? Okay, know what you want. What kind of temperament? When people say, Brother Douglas, can you help me with dating? I'll say, well, first of all, what kind of temperament do you want? You need to know what kind of temperament. Do you want a real quiet girl? I can show you many. Do you want a real high-energy, bubbly girl? I can show you many. Do you want a very balanced in-between? I can show you many. What kind of guy are you looking for? This will determine whether you are accepting dates, and it's going to happen, and everybody has their different opinions. Some say, oh, girls, you need to say yes to everybody who asks you out for a date. I taught my daughter how to tactfully say no, such as I'm cleaning out my sock drawer. No, I'm just kidding. You can gracefully do it, girls. But this means you're just getting focused here. You know what you want. Also know this, there's no guy here that's perfect. That's why God made you. You are the completer. And I think sometimes you girls are looking for the perfect guy. I wasn't the perfect guy. I wished I could put up on the big screen some of my suits that I bought at AmVets. I look ridiculous. I think sometimes she dated me just as a mission project, just like this poor guy. I need to help him out. Right, Brother Lewis? Sometimes it's just... So they're not perfect, but that's why you are inserted. You are the completer. Much of what I am today is because of the influence of Mrs. Douglas. I chose well. I chose wisely. I knew back in that day, this is a good woman. She's a hard worker. Wherever she was on Sundays, there was just a brigade of girls following her, and she was carrying the little ones and everything. I thought, wow, this is good. Know what you're looking for. Last is this, choose a dating counselor. Choose. It could be someone from back home. It could be someone from here. You're 18, you're 19, you're 20, you're 22. You are going to make life's biggest choice at that very young age. You need help. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and God, I just pray that our young people here